Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is The Woods.
Grrr.
The show made by bears for the bear community, their admirers and supporters all around Australia and the world. Brought to you from Melbourne's Joy 94.9 studios.
Woof. Grrr.
It is Thursday evening and it's Bear O'Clock. I'm Bear Curious Dean and thanks for joining us for another hour of The Woods. Joining me tonight at the big desk is Cub reporter Robbie. How are you doing, Robbie?
Thanks, Dean. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Good to see you. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you.
And also joining us tonight is Just James. Hey, James.
Evening. How's it going?
It's going good. Going good, mate.
Good to hear it.
Woof, girl.
I heard you went to Gold Class this week, Dean.
I did, Robbie. I did go to Gold Class this week. Should I tell you about that?
Yes, please do. Please do.
My boyfriend Anthony and I, we got given some gifts to go to Gold Class, like some Gold Class passes. We went off to see Fantastic Beasts and Where You Find Them. We thought, oh, this could be bearish. Wasn't really.
No. I'm not surprised. I didn't know.
You know, I like a bit of Gold Class
action.
What
about Fantastic Beasts? Oh, because bears are fantastic beasts.
They are fantastic and they are beasts.
Are they?
But me and my boyfriend Anthony, so we went along to Gold Class and we thought, look, we got these tickets for free. Let's lie back and enjoy the cinematic experience with a drink or two, like you do. So we got a Long Island tea to start the film off. And we thought, why not splash out and get a second Long Island iced tea
halfway
through the show?
Now, the thing about Long Island iced teas is that they're quite long, aren't they?
They are long. No island involved, but long and tea-like, yes.
Yeah, so lots of liquid.
Yeah, so what rhymes with tea? Pee. So about 45 minutes in, nature was calling. In fact, nature was knocking loudly. And I'm thinking, can I just creep out now?
And you couldn't hear the movie over the sound of nature knocking on that door.
I put my knees together. I was holding on tight. I was holding on. I was thinking, oh, this movie's going forever. But I didn't want to miss out.
No.
You don't want to sort of skip out and miss something, do you?
Especially not at the end.
No.
So what actually happened, Dean? How did you manage this drama?
So my bladder, my Chinese bladder, I held on until the very end because I wanted to see the credits because I wanted to see if a certain actor was in it. No spoilers. But there's an actor that appears towards the end and I thought, is that him? Is that him? So I had to stay for the credits. But as soon as I saw his name, I bolted out that door and made a beeline for the bathroom.
Well, fun.
And now you had a Gold Class experience as well.
I did. I went and saw the exact same movie, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Good movie, good fun. Go see it if you like. I didn't go with you guys, but I also went Gold Class. My partner and I have this tradition when we go to Gold Class. We do pick five. You know, you can get five things off the menu for a set price.
And oh, so do you like to eat?
We really get into it. And look, we've been pretty healthy lately. We've been on a bit of a health spur.
You've lost a bit of weight. Thank you, Dean.
I did serve that right up for you there. I appreciate you knocking that one back to me. So this was our time of the week to let loose, but unfortunately I'd done a little bit too much letting loose that day, and as soon as the first meals arrived, I realised I'd made a terrible mistake.
Because you weren't just snacking. It wasn't a popcorn top. No, you...
Five items, thank you very much, off the menu, including two savoury things, which were, you know, our dinner, and then three sweets to share.
It wasn't that long a movie. Did you finish it all?
Oh, gosh, no. No. But we had a real good hard go at it.
Good for you.
James, have you had any overeating stories or have you wet yourself lately?
No, neither of those. But I have seen Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. I can't do Gold Class, unfortunately, because do you know what happens?
No, what happens?
Well, you know...
You fall asleep, don't you?
Being elderly. That's exactly what happens. The chairs are so comfortable.
They are comfortable.
A couple of drinks and maybe not Long Island iced teas, but then I'm gone.
But tell you what, tonight is a special night. You won't be falling asleep tonight because in The Woods tonight we have not one but two guests.
That's exciting.
It is exciting.
Tell us who they are.
Now, well, the reason, let me just set this up a little bit. The context for our guests. Today is a very special day.
Do
we know
indeed.
What it is? It's the 1st of December.
1st of December.
Which is, of course, Joy's birthday.
Happy 23rd birthday. Happy birthday, Joy.
Absolutely. But it is more significantly, it is World AIDS Day. And it's held on the 1st of December every year.
That's pretty amazing.
It is. So we thought for the next hour, we would explore what World AIDS Day is about,
yep.
both from a lived experience, but also looking at treatment and prevention, a bit of education.
Sounds like it's going to be a more serious than usual kind of show, Dean.
It may be. It might even learn something.
We might. And also, if you want to join us, you can SMS on 0427-JOY949. You can email us on onair@joy.org.au. And can they still phone? I never know whether we've got...
Send us a text or an email.
Use the mobile number.
Because if you're listening and you perhaps don't know about HIV, or you don't know about PrEP, and you want to know, now's your chance.
Or you do know, and you want to share some of your knowledge with us.
Or if you know our guests, and you want to say howdy, let me tell you who our guests are. So our guests are, we've got Craig Burnett, the PLDI State Coordinator.
Woof-ger
to you, Craig. And also Phil Joffe, who's the Chairperson of PrEP Access Now.
Hi, how are you going?
Give us a woof-ger.
Woof-ger.
Ah, there you go. Now let's start with you, Craig. Now you're the PLDI State Coordinator. What do those acronyms mean?
So PLDI is the Positive Leadership Development Institute. It is a program run out of Living Positive Victoria, mm-hmm. Which is to develop leadership skills within people living with HIV. And so as state coordinator, I'm the they go to a weekend where they develop their leadership skills, and I'm the aftermath. Which is probably a bad word to use.
Oh.
But I'm the one that engages them continually afterwards and say, well, what would you like to do with your leadership skills that we've developed? You know, what would you like to see in the community? And they don't have to if they don't want to. If they feel like they just want to take a back seat for a little while, that's absolutely fine. But my job is to try and re-engage them or keep them engaged in the community and activism.
And, of course, I missed it completely, and we're not a visual medium, but Craig's wearing his PLDI badge.
Yes, I am.
Nicely blazoned on his collar there. It's cute.
Thank you.
Just describe the badge. Sorry, I can't. It's on your other collar. What's the badge? It's not a red ribbon.
No, it just says PLDI.
In rainbow colours.
Yes. Yes.
We need a Woods badge, don't we?
We need a Woods badge for... What would it have on it, though?
Probably a bear.
Bear, I think so.
Well, you could have a rainbow paw print.
Oh, we there could. We go. Now that you're thinking. Now, of course, Craig... This is a visual medium, but so people can't see your face. They can't see your face, but they may have seen your face on billboards and on websites, yes?
Yes, yes. So I've been a part of a few campaigns. Probably the most notable one was the Treat Now campaign that VAC and Living Positive Victoria ran earlier this year on a lot of bus stops and tram stops around Melbourne. It marks a milestone for us because it was the first campaign in Australia that used actual faces of people living with HIV.
Oh, so no paid models. They were actual...
Yes, we were actual people living with HIV, yes.
How powerful.
Yes.
Was there a good response to that campaign?
Yes, there was. There were a lot of people. There were people who messaged me on apps thanking me for my participation. There were also people who approached me in the street and said thank you for the work that I did. And that was really heartwarming. I was so grateful for those experiences.
Fantastic. Now, we will be exploring a little bit further with Craig, your story.
Yes.
Your story. We're going to do that coming up next. But as I say, if you do have a question or a message, 0427-JOY949 or onair@joy.org.au, you are on the Woods on Joy.
HIV is still here and it's on the move. Community highlights from today, World AIDS Day.
Next, I'd like to invite Associate Professor Edwina Wright, who is our keynote speaker for this morning.
Sometime today, around 6 million Victorians will wake up and ultimately get up. Some will wake up alone, some will wake up with a hangover, and if they're unlucky, they will wake up with both the hangover and children. With their makeup still on and still wearing yesterday's clothes, and here I'm referring to both men and girls. quite a few people will wake up homeless. And if they're not homeless, then a big motivation for them to get up will be to get to work to pay for their rent or mortgage, because Melbourne has some of the highest rental and mortgage repayment rates in the world. A large number of people in Victoria wake up every day with a chronic illness, and today is not going to be any different. As an example, about 300,000 Victorians have type 2 diabetes, and I imagine that when they're finally awake this morning, they'll be thinking about planning their meals for the day, testing their blood sugar, and some of them will need to remember to take their medications. Another group of people will be waking up, and most of them will at some point in the day intersect with their tablets to treat a different chronic illness. And here, of course, I'm referring to the many thousands of Victorians who will wake up today as people living with HIV. Also, as has been mentioned, several hundred people will in fact wake up not knowing that they are HIV positive. And I actually want to acknowledge the undiagnosed HIV people in Victoria as the first people to acknowledge, and hope that when they move forward in and through their diagnosis, that they can be the fortunate recipients of so much care and wisdom, compassion, and at times love that is present from the people in this room. Last year in Victoria, around 290 people found out that they were HIV positive. 258 were men, 31 were women, and there was one transgender person. A small proportion were Aboriginal Victorians. About 20% of the newly diagnosed were heterosexuals, and about 2% acquired HIV principally, we think, through injecting drug use. As has been mentioned, about a quarter of newly diagnosed people were already advanced in their HIV illness. Their CD4 cells were under 350. And that likelihood was much higher if you come from sub-Saharan Africa or Southeast Asia, and in turn, if you come from those regions and you're heterosexual. So HIV has not gone away in the state, and nor has AIDS. Last year, 39 people were diagnosed with AIDS in Victoria. And for the record, something else hasn't gone away in the state. And here I'm referring to the many hundreds, if not perhaps a few thousand, HIV-positive people alive today who have survived previous AIDS illnesses. These are the Victorian HIV elders. And I'm sure that several elders, I know that several elders are here today, and I would like to acknowledge them at this point in the
To hear more World AIDS Day highlights, head to joy.org.au/joycommunityhighlights. World AIDS Day 2016. Thanks to our community partners, Living Positive Victoria, VAC, the Burnett and Doherty Institutes, and Joy 94.9.
For all things bear, cub, otter or wolf, and any other woodland creature, The Woods on Joy 94.9.
I'm Bear Curious Dean. I'm here with cub reporter Robbie and Just James, and our very special guests on World AIDS Day, Craig Burnett and Phil Joffe. And we are talking about World AIDS Day, which is a day for the community to show their support for people living with HIV, but also to commemorate and remember the people who have died of AIDS-related conditions and other conditions associated with HIV. The National World AIDS Day theme for this year is HIV is here and it's on the move. We are speaking with Craig Burnett, and we're going to explore now your story.
Yes.
Which I know that you shared as part of the campaign earlier.
Part of the Staying Negative campaign that VAC runs.
So tell us a bit about your story.
So mine is somewhat unique. It's definitely not what most people experience, but I have a fairly crippling fear of needles. Mm-hmm. And there was a point in my late teens where I wanted to confront all of my fears because I thought I was invincible. And so I decided that the way that I was going to confront my fear of needles was to donate blood. And so I spent a year not having sex. And then I went and donated blood. And 2 weeks after I donated, I got a call from the blood bank and said, some things have come up in your blood work and we would like you to come in just for some extra testing.
Right.
And when I got there, they were like, so you tested positive for HIV and we need to do another test just to confirm that you are HIV positive. And of course, I was HIV positive. I'd never had a HIV test before because I never needed it. I'd only ever had sex with condoms. But, you know, condoms are not 100% effective. And so I just presume a condom broke and didn't realise.
And so I think you said you abstained from sex for a year?
Yeah, as is required by law.
So you had HIV for over 12 months, not known?
Yes, I did not have AIDS, but I was on the way there, I was quite sickly. I had a very low immune system, a very high viral load, and they had suspected I'd had it for about 3 years, 2 or 3 years.
Wow, and you had no idea?
No idea at all.
Is that a common experience for people not to realise they have HIV?
Yes and no. It's not uncommon for people to not know that they have HIV. It depends on their testing regularity. So I always recommend that if you are sexually active, even if you are using precautions, that you test regularly, just because you never know.
So in that moment when you find out that you have HIV after the year of abstinence, and I mean, talk me through that. What was your response?
I was angry and upset. I felt like I'd been cheated. I did everything that everyone had said to do to stop this from happening, and it still happened. And then I kind of realized a little after a couple of years that I don't hold any special place in the universe. Things just happen, mm-hmm. and you just have to deal with them, mm-hmm. and you have to move forward.
I think, I mean, I appreciate you telling that story, Craig, because I'm sure it wasn't an easy thing for you to go through. But I think it does highlight the essential part of the testing, you know, the message that we really want to get across, and things like Pronto, all the services that are available for guys to test. You know, we really want to encourage people. If you're sexually active, it's really important that you test regularly. And they say anything from 3 to 6 months, every 3 to 6 months.
Yeah. You know, when the seasons change is a good way of doing it, which is now for anyone listening. We have just gone into summer. So if you wanted to get into that cycle, when the seasons change is a good way to
And the testing's free, and it's really important.
Yeah.
So I'm also interested, you have this news, which, as you say, you respond with anger, disbelief. You take, I assume, some time to understand how this impacts your life.
Mm-hmm.
Then do you go and tell mum and dad?
The first person I told was my mother. Mm-hmm. They confirmed the second test. They took me to the Alfred and put me into the system to get treatment. And then when they released me back into the world, I went home. I got in my car and drove straight to my mum's house, and I told her. And then I probably didn't tell anyone for a little while. And my mum requested that I didn't tell the rest of my family. And I respected her requests up until I decided to become public with my status. Mm-hmm. And then I told the rest of my family, let them know. And because I thought it was the only polite way to do it, to let them know from me and not reading it online or something like that.
Or at a bus stop. On a billboard at a bus stop. And how... I imagine it's a very courageous thing to reveal something so personal about yourself in the mass media.
Well, I mean, I have a saying that you get courage after the act, you know. You can't fake courage. You just do something and then you become okay with it afterwards. You have the same fear and the same anxiety for pretty much everything that you do. The only difference is that you take that next step.
So feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah, and I do remember when I was going to go public, and it was a Wednesday. I remember this because I looked up when is the best time to post to Facebook to get the most coverage. Turns out it's Wednesday between 1 and 4 o'clock.
You did a Facebook post?
I did.
What do you say in your Facebook post?
It was just a link to my staying negative story, which had been done by VAC. And it was like 3:30, and I think I struggled for a couple of minutes of like, do I release this, do I not release this, And I went, I can't have gone through all of this to not let people know what I've done. And I think the most important thing to me was letting other people know that there are people in the world who are going through similar things that they are. And if I can make somebody else's life just that little bit easier to cope with just by hitting a button, then of course I'm going to hit that button.
So your finger hovers over this button, hit submit, and then you take a breath and wait for the response online?
How long did you go before you had a look?
I think what I purposely did is I hit the button at work and I left work. And so I had my whole entire journey home looking at Facebook.
Yeah.
And then I got home and obviously had a look. I think the thing that I was most scared about was hate mail. And people being, oh, you deserve it, and all this, you know, diatribe, which is just...
Which happens.
It does happen.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to say that I received nothing but support and thanks for doing what I did, and I'm glad that I made such a difference in so many people's lives.
How many times after you hit the button and published it, how many times did you wish you'd taken it back?
Not once.
Not once.
Not once.
That's impressive. Yeah, that's good.
It's a very courageous thing to do. I think I say that. It's almost patronising. I guess I hear about the stigma and the shame that mm-hmm. keeps people from sharing their status or sharing their story.
Oh, yes.
Have you experienced that?
I've experienced a lot of stigma, and it is crippling and really horrible. When I was using the apps quite a lot...
Oh, the dating apps?
The dating apps like Grindr and Scruff and like that. At least once a week, I would meet someone who's in maybe their mid-30s who had been out since they were in their early 20s, and I was the first person they had knowingly met with HIV. And then their questions were, well, what does it all mean? And I would tell them, and then their response would be, well, are you just telling me everything is okay because you still want to get in my pants? Where do I go for other information? And it kind of shocked me that they didn't know where to go for information because, you know, the VAC and Living Positive Victoria, they maintain a very, you know, prominent presence.
High profile, yeah.
And a lot of LGBTIQ plus, you know, spaces and all that kind of stuff. So I think, you know, education and information dispersion is what's really needed.
I think it's interesting, is it? Because we see it. I mean, being involved with Joy, being part of the community, being active, we see adverts, we see the campaigns, and we're very aware. And I think it is, I still get surprised by people I know who ask some of what I would seem to be the most obvious questions, you know,
well,
like...
But on that, even I'm fairly well-versed, but I still struggle. So let's just talk to some of the labels. Are you a person living with HIV or are you HIV positive? What's the thing to say in polite company?
In polite company, it is to say a person living with HIV because mm-hmm. we are people first and our HIV is second.
And we wouldn't... And do we say I'm a survivor of HIV?
No, I'm living with it. Uh-huh. Yeah, surviving means that I am, you know, in constant struggle and pain. And that may be true sometimes, but, you know, I am still living my life.
I think one of the clumsiest things you hear is people, I mean, sometimes even people who are HIV positive will say things like, I'm HIV. And, you know, it's such a negative, and it kind of fixates on that there's nothing else to them.
Yeah, I noticed I currently have a walking stick because I had a motorcycle accident on the weekend, and I noticed that when I went to hospital, they said, do you have any conditions? And I said, oh, I'm a person living with HIV. Mm. And it didn't even cross my mind that I was like, oh, I'm positive or anything like that. It was the first thing for me to say was, I'm a person living with HIV. Mm. But I think that's a journey. And, you know, a lot of people living with HIV have their own journeys to go and they're all at a different place.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's interesting. I think I was reflecting earlier, there's lots of stats in the media about number of new transmissions or how the rates are going up or going down. And often, while that's interesting and important that we are aware of it, it does almost take the focus off the human experience and the lived experience.
Yeah, we've got some interesting comments. We'll be able to talk to Phil shortly, Phil Joffe, about those statistics. And there's some very interesting things coming out of America.
Absolutely. So you are listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9. We are chatting next to Phil Joffe about PrEP access now. And if I can make
it to the middle of this tightrope. This is Matt Albert from San Francisco. Well, then you can find a way to make it out here too. You're listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9. And if I can make it to the
middle of this tightrope. You are on The Woods with Bear Curious Dean, Cub reporter Robbie and Just James. And we're talking about World AIDS Day. And we just had a chat with Craig Burnett, the PLDI State Coordinator and VAC poster boy.
Yes, Wolfgur.
Wolfgur, well done. Now, of course, World AIDS Day is not just about commemorating those who have passed away, but also to encourage Australians to educate themselves and others about HIV and to take action to reduce the transmission of HIV by promoting prevention strategies. And that's where we're going to turn our focus now.
One of those prevention strategies
exactly,
is
one of
PrEP.
Them. That's right. So Phil Joffe, who is the chairperson of PrEP Access Now.
That's right.
That's right. So tell us a little bit, for those who aren't aware of PrEP or PEP, tell us a bit, what does PrEP stand for?
PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is a program that includes taking a daily pill and consulting regularly with your doctor for quarterly STI, kidney, and HIV monitoring.
So this is something you take before exposure?
Correct.
So it's a bit of a, is it a safety net or a
It's like treatment. Women who take the pill
right.
so as not to fall pregnant. So HIV negative guys are taking PrEP so as not to get HIV.
Now, I've also heard of PEP. Now, what is PEP and how's okay. that different?
PEP is post-exposure prophylaxis. So if you have been in a risky scenario and you think you may have been exposed to the virus, within 72 hours, you can start a course of PEP, which people take for a month. And it's not an ongoing process as PrEP is.
So one of the issues that I understand with PrEP is around the PBS. Tell us a bit about that. So it's not freely available in Australia?
No. Truvada, which is the drug that is used as pre-exposure prophylaxis, has been approved by the PBS for treatment, but it hasn't been approved for prevention. It was considered by the PBAC, which is the Pharmaceutical
Benefits Advisory Committee.
That's it.
Uh-huh. Done my research.
And because of the way Gilead did the submission and the price they put it in at, it was knocked back a few months ago.
So Gilead's the manufacturing, the company that manufactures
Correct.
The chemical? Yep.
Correct. So during the course of next year, another submission is going to be made. It'll be considered round about June, July. And the hope is that by the end of next year, PrEP will be freely available on the PBS.
So I'm curious, Phil. Like I've no idea of the monetary value behind these medications. If someone was trying to purchase PrEP here in Australia, and I know that you've got some connections or some options for helping people buy
right.
the medication, but what would they be paying for it normally? Like if they just tried to buy it?
Well, if you went to your doctor and you got a script for Truvada and you went to your pharmacy around the corner,
yeah.
it would cost you between $800 to $900 per month.
Per wow. month?
Per wow. month, yeah. So what we've done, PrEP Access Now, on our website, we link to three different pharmacies in different parts of the world who offer generics, and via the pharmacies that we have the links for, people can import generic Truvada into Australia for as little as $160, $170 per quarter.
And can you explain what generic means? I'm not...
Yeah, a generic is a tablet that is exactly the same as a branded drug.
Right.
So in this case, Truvada is the branded drug. There are various generics made by different manufacturers,
right.
but it's licensed by the branded manufacturer. So Gilead gives other companies permission to make versions of Truvada,
okay.
which are exactly the same. The ingredients don't change at all.
Yep.
It's got to be made to the standards of the branded drug. And from time to time, Gilead would also conduct tests
right.
just to make sure that the quality is as it should be.
So where is this drug coming from when people are buying from, you know, from some of the other contacts?
Well, the generics, the three pharmacies that we have links for, like I said, are in different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
One is in India, one is in Canada, and one is in Swaziland.
Right. And are there some disadvantages? Are there any risks around buying these meds from overseas? Are there complications?
Well, there have been complications in terms of customs delays from time to time.
Right.
Obviously, you're dependent on that particular pharmacy having stock mm-hmm. of the drug when you need it.
Yep.
But other than that, there has never been an instance of fake antiretrovirals yep. being imported from online pharmacies right. into Australia.
So pretty safe.
When we started, there was concern expressed by a number of clinicians as to, you know, whether all the pharmacies were providing genuine drugs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, 16 months down the line, that has all dissipated.
Right. So there's nothing illegal in this process of bringing drugs in from overseas?
No, the TGA actually has what they call the Personal Importation Scheme.
That's the Therapeutic Goods Authority?
Administration.
Administration, yeah.
That allows Australians to import a drug into Australia, provided it's not on the prohibited list, provided they have a doctor's prescription, and provided they don't import more than 3 months' supply at a time.
Right.
It's fully legal.
Now, Phil, I asked Craig about the terms, because I do struggle with my terms sometimes, and I want to test this term with you. So what I've heard this term, and I wonder if you can tell me what it means, Truvada whore. What is that, what is that about?
Truvada whore was a term that came into being in America around about 2012, mm-hmm. when PrEP was first approved by the FDA in America.
So on T-shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was everywhere.
Basically, because the protection that Truvada provides is so good, there is no need to use condoms for HIV protection if you're using Truvada. Mm. Obviously, PrEP does not protect against other STIs, and everybody decides what their strategy is going to be in terms of risk reduction for other STIs.
Yeah.
But suddenly it seemed that there were a lot of people having bareback sex, and there was an element of society that was not in favor of that.
Yeah.
And so
there still is, aren't there? I mean, there are people who sit in judgment of behaviors.
Absolutely.
For everything that we do.
PrEP users are experiencing stigma on the other side of the zero divide that people with HIV are experiencing as well.
Yeah.
So the term was coined Truvada whore to signify the guys who were on PrEP and who are having bareback sex.
Yeah, and it's just part of that whole stigma. It's that ongoing. You know, we can be really unkind. I mean, the message around is still that, you know, whenever possible, and condoms are effective and they're part of, you know, the arsenal. But we've got more. I think the message is that there's a lot more that's available for people. And I know there's a bit of a question around people. That there's been some seroconversions of people on PrEP. Would that be right? I've heard.
There have been two seroconversions. One was in Toronto, the other one was in the New York area, of two people who encountered strains of HIV that were resistant to both the drugs in Truvada, which is very unusual.
Yep, yep.
These two strains were actually resistant to multi-medications, and obviously, you know, certain people were shaken by that.
Mm.
But if you take into consideration that there are around about 150,000 people around the world that
those
have been taking PrEP.
Yeah, incredibly slim odds.
Two zero conversions is really nothing.
Mm. It is World AIDS Day 2016. HIV is still here and it is on the move. This is The Woods. We'll be back to chat some more with Phil Joffe from PrEP Access Now. Stick around. More to come.
HIV is still here and it's on the move.
Community highlights from today, World AIDS Day.
Associate Professor Edwina Wright, who is our keynote speaker for this morning.
I'd also like to acknowledge all the people whom we are now without. people who suffered and died from AIDS and other HIV-related diseases since HIV first arrived in the southern Antipodes right down here in Victoria. One reason why it's so important to acknowledge those who have experienced AIDS illnesses, including those who continue to do so, is that AIDS illnesses are quite sinister by nature and cause a lot of physical suffering. They're difficult to treat, they're prone to relapse without preventive therapy, without antiretroviral therapy, they have high morbidity and mortality rates. But another reason to acknowledge people who've had AIDS illnesses is that because we didn't know much about the virus for a very long time, it was destined that the focus of the HIV epidemic, at least initially, would be upon what humans do to acquire HIV rather than what the virus does to humans. This is still the case in many settings. The focus is on the nature of people and their behaviour and not on the nature of the virus and its behaviour. Therefore, AIDS illnesses have become the stigmata of people whose behaviour, lifestyle choices or socioeconomic circumstances are unacceptable to wider societies and religions and governments. AIDS illnesses have served and I think still serve as symbolic punishments for being other. And so people suffer doubly from AIDS through the experience of the physical illness itself and through the infliction of societal shaming. If you'd woken up as an HIV-positive person in 1986 instead of 2016, you would probably not have been getting up to go to work, at least not with any ease. Maybe you were just out of hospital with PCP. You might have been trying to find the energy and the courage to tell your family about your diagnosis, or you might have still been in denial about your HIV. The tablets you would be taking would have been antifungals and antibiotics, anti-nausea agents, some acyclovir for genital herpes. You would not have been taking antiretroviral agents. You would have had to wait till July 1996 when the AIDS conference in Vancouver heralded the wonderful findings that using three antiretroviral drugs reduced AIDS death and hospitalisation rates. This was the beginning of the highly active antiretroviral era, the HART era, as many of you, of course, know. During the 1980s and until the mid-1990s, most HIV-positive Victorians were cared for at Fairfield Hospital, the state's fever hospital north of the city. It opened in 1904 and was the refuge for the sick and the undesirable, hence it was the natural destination for people living with AIDS and HIV. Fairfield Hospital closed in 1996 and the Victorian HIV AIDS service moved here to the Alfred Hospital, and Fairfield Hospital's wonderful culture of care that evolved from fantastic clinicians and researchers like Jenny Hoy, Suzanne Crow, Anne Mitch, Ron Lucas, and the scientists at McFarlane Burnett and Vigil, that culture of care travelled down Punt Road, arrived here intact, and has remained here since.
To hear more World AIDS Day highlights, head to joy.org.au/joy-community-highlights. World AIDS Day 2016, thanks to our community partners, Living Positive Victoria, VAC, the Burnett and Doherty Institutes, and Joy 94.9.
Catch up or relive all the Woods has to offer. Listen to the Woods podcast online at joy.org.au or on iTunes or Stitcher. Joy 94.9.
Woof girl. You are listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9. I am Bear Curious Dean. Still curious after all these years. I'm here with Cub reporter Robbie and Just James, and we're having a good old chat to Craig Burnett and to Phil Joffe, because it is World AIDS Day. Now let's talk transmission. So Phil, I think you've got some numbers for us. How are the transmissions in Australia going?
There's some good news, isn't there, Phil?
There is. The guys at Prepped for Change, Chris and Daniel, who incidentally have just published their brand new website, which is really amazing, preppedforchange.com. So earlier on today on their Facebook page, they published the information that New South Wales has reported the lowest new diagnoses for a single quarter in more than 4 years. It's a 22% decrease compared with the same period in previous years.
That's pretty good news. That's very good news.
Yeah, it is. The other thing that is very pleasing that they reported is that there was a 27% increase in testing during that period.
Ah, that's very good.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So the message is getting out there for sure.
That's right. So how does Victoria compare?
Victoria, sadly, is not doing as well. For 2016, our new transmissions are up just slightly under 20% on the 2015 numbers.
And are our test, is our testing percentage up as well? Is it more people getting tested, therefore more people being diagnosed?
There are more people being tested. So whether it is new transmissions that are really up or older transmissions that are now being discovered, that remains to be seen.
I guess, so I was going to say, at the end of the day, I mean, ultimately the thing is that the people knowing what their HIV status is really important, because then they have the option of getting on to treatment.
Absolutely.
So whilst the news may not be that good that the new transmissions are going up, the fact that people are aware of their HIV status is something that we shouldn't lose sight
of. That's right. So, Craig, earlier you were saying, change of season, go get a test.
Yes. Yeah, it's a really good way of keeping track.
And so if someone is sexually active, how frequently should they be tested? Is it every 3 months?
It is recommended around every 3 months.
Now, just that website again that Phil mentioned, it was PREPD, so PREPD, for change, or one word, .com. So check that one out.
And is for a letter or a word? A number or
it's a word?
Word.
No, it's all PREPDFORCHANGE.
.com.
C-O-M. There you go.
Com's now, a word now, too, Craig.
While you're surfing the internet, you might also want to check out the Prep Access Now website, which is prepaccessnow.com.au. And you might be interested to know about a fundraising event.
I was just going to say, it's really, I mean, it's been a very serious and, a really important conversation, but there are fun things happening, aren't there?
And it's not just a fundraising event, it's a fuck-raising event.
That's right. That's what we've called it, and it's Blew, B-L-E-W, and it's happening next week, Friday, the 9th of December.
Isn't that a misspelling of the colour?
It's not a colour.
It's a verb, I think.
It's a verb.
A doing word. I love
and
doing words.
There's going to be a lot of doing there.
And where will we be going to do this doing?
We'll be going to the dungeon at Club 80.
The dungeon?
Yeah.
No idea where that is. Do you know where that is, Dean?
You know I don't know where that is, James. You keep threatening to take me there.
It's not a threat. It's an offer. It's a promise.
A promise.
Club 80 have very generously donated the space to Prep Access Now.
That's cool.
We are an incorporated association, not for profit. We're unfunded. We've been operating for over a year without any funds. And there's a lot that we want to do in terms of education and awareness in the community of PrEP. And obviously, we need money to do that.
Yeah.
So we thought, what better way to raise money than to invite people to a sex party?
Now, I did look on the website.
We're very sex positive here, aren't we?
We are very sex positive. I saw the image that's on the website, and it reminded me of my Pilates. I thought, oh, that boy's got a good, strong core. He's done some Pilates.
I'm so looking forward to taking Dean to Club 80. I just can't wait to see him get into a Pilates position.
Is there a Pilates reformer?
You just get around those barrels, Dean, and do your Pilates.
What about a down-facing dog, do you think?
Down-facing it. Just don't do anything pussy-related, okay?
Oh, please, you boys. We've
really taken it too far now. Gone too far.
So again, Phil, if people want to find out more about this fuckraising event, Blew, how do they find out?
There is a link on our website, prepaccessnow.com.au. There is also an event page on Facebook, Blew, B-L-E-W, and it's also advertised in the party section of BBRT.
Oh, another acronym?
Bareback Real Time.
Uh-huh.
And there are
one of those many hookup sites.
Right. There are actually 68 people who have requested invites to the party on BBRT.
Oh, I should do that. Was that Craig?
I need to request that invitation on BBRT.
There you go. You heard it here first. Look, you have been listening to The Woods, where we've been commemorating and finding out a little bit more about HIV, because it is World AIDS Day, 1st of December.
It's been a pretty fantastic conversation, guys, and I'd really like to thank you both. You know, you're both very upfront, honest, good men of good character, and we appreciate you guys coming in and giving us your time.
Thank you, and thank you for giving us the opportunity.
Fantastic.
Thank you. It's been great coming in.
Cool, cool. Now, if you liked the show and you want to listen to it again, why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you?
You can listen to a podcast of this show. Our podcasts are available from our Facebook page, which is The Woods on Joy 94.9. We also tweet to let you know that the podcast has landed. Our Twitter handle, because we're all into social media here, us players, is The Woods
when
on Joy.
When we can remember how to spell things.
That's right. Or you can go to the Joy website, joy.org.au/The Woods, or go to iTunes. Now, if you go to iTunes and you subscribe to the podcast, be sure to give us a bit of a tick. Give us a bit of positive regard. Click one of the little stars and tell us how much you enjoyed our show. Of course, if you do like your bears, and why wouldn't you, Wolfgur? Brekkie Bears, Monday Morning, Big Bear Mark, Luke the Wonder Cub, and SJ, the God Dogs. And Robbie, are you doing any Barely Believable this Monday?
I believe I will be in this Monday. I might even just be doing a little bit of a recap on Beartopia, which is, of course, coming up this weekend.
And you're off to Beartopia?
I am tomorrow. I'm so excited.
Off to Daylesford.
Big gay weekend in Daylesford.
Fantastic.
Big gay bear weekend.
Coming up next, Dan and Andy with the Pop Chops.
The boys from Pop Chops.
That's right. So until next week, Wolfgur.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.